Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and my co-host tonight. On my last night here in Maryland in person is Madison Bennett. Madison.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me, Drew. I'm glad I got to catch you one last time before you go back to Florida.
Well, you get the pleasure of being here for the final fruits of being here in Maryland in person. And Chris is shedding a tear in the producer's booth, and I'm so glad to see that. It's so touching. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. Make it a good open show tonight. Give me lots of calls. Madison and I are here to answer your calls, 410-922-6680. But you know that it's going to sound the same from Florida. It sounds exactly alike, doesn't it?
But, it does.
But, you know, it's still, you know, it'll still be a treat to hear from you in person while I'm here. And give us a call at 410-922-6680. It's an open show tonight. That means you get to be the guest. You get to direct the conversation any way you want to take it. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question, any question dealing with personal finance, whether it's college planning or employer benefits or life insurance or auto insurance or homeowners insurance, umbrella insurance, you name it. If it has to deal with your personal finances, we're here to answer it for you. 410-922-6680. But Madison and I have got a couple topics we're willing to talk about until you decide you want to call in and direct the conversation in a way you'd like it to go. And one of those is, Maddie, is how many times I talk to people who get incredibly bad information. You know, it's amazing how people want to give advice for free to people, and they have no clue what they're talking about, you know?
I know.
I mean, they get some advice for themselves for a specific situation, and they spew it out to all kinds of other people, assuming that it's the same information for everyone. So mm-hmm. I had a client call me the other day, and they said, I need to talk to you about Medicare. You know, because I'm turning 65. Well, I knew this client. I knew that they intended to work for another 4 or 5 years. And I'm like, okay, you know, what do you want to talk about? And they said, well, I'm 60. I got to sign up for Medicare. I was told by, you know, they said that I have to sign up for Medicare or I'm going to get penalized and so forth. And I said, but you're continuing to work and your company's going to continue to provide medical insurance for you, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, how old do you think you'll be until you quit working? She said, well, I intend to work until I'm about 70. And I said, well, okay, you don't need to sign up for Medicare. You just, as long as you have a company that you work for that has more than 20 employees. I said, how many? She goes, well, I think we have at least 1,000 or more employees. And I said, well, then you're good. You don't need to sign up for Medicare. And I said, now, you could sign up for Medicare Part A, which is free. I said, but you don't even want to sign up for that if you have a health savings account.
Right.
Because the minute they sign up for Medicare A, you're cut out of that, right?
Right. Can't do the HSA anymore.
No more HSA. And the HSA is a really cool benefit to have. And you don't want to lose that, you know? Mm-hmm. So you don't want to sign up for Medicare A either. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680. Anyway, you know, again, Medicare misunderstood, greatly misunderstood. A lot of people are getting a lot of advice from a lot of people who have some understanding of something, and they're spewing it out to everybody saying, you got to do this, you got to do that, this is the way, this is how it works, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, make sure you're talking to somebody that's an expert on the topic
right.
before you make your decisions on Medicare, because you don't want to lose your HSA benefit, health savings account, if you have one and you're going to still work. So the way that works, Maddie, you know as well as I do, and that is that if you're still working, let's say you're going to retire at 68 or 69, you get an L-564. That's Larry 564, L-564. It's a form that the Medicare people provide. And then you fill it out and you say, I'm still working, or I was still working for this company, and they had medical insurance that was excellent and it met all your standards. And I'm now retiring, and it's 3 years since I was 65. Give me a special enrollment period, a SEP. A special enrollment period. You know, they use that word SEP for lots of different
things.
Multiple
ways.
Multiple ways. But in this one, it's called a special enrollment period. And you get it signed by your HR department. You hand it to Medicare, or actually you're handing it to Social Security, and you sign up for Medicare. No penalty, because you have a special enrollment period, even though you're not 65 anymore. We're going to take a pause real quick. Rich, we're from Pasadena. We're going to be with you in a second. But we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. Last show here in Maryland in person. Maddie and I are here to answer your questions. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli, the financial consultant, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consultant's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
I don't know what Chris is trying to tell me. You're coming to take me to Florida away or something like that. You know? I don't know. Anyway, we're here. And on the reverse side of that record is the song In Reverse. Did you know that? It's a little trivia fact there for you on They're Coming to Take You Away. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. We're going right to, I guess I ought to put my glasses back on. Don, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
There you go. I got somebody. How you doing, Don? I'm sorry, I was here all by myself with Maddie, you know? What's up, Don?
Okay. I had a couple questions about capital gains taxes on real estate.
Okay.
Actually, two-part question. On a primary residence, I've been in my primary residence 25 years, so I'm not sure what the current law is, but the way I used to understand it was there used to be a one-time exemption on capital gains tax on your personal residence if you were 55 or older. I don't know if that's changed, and
that has changed. Everything's changed dramatically since then. So nowadays, Don, it's did you make more than $500,000 on your home, regardless of what age you are, and you can make $500,000. Are you married or single?
Married.
Married. You can make $500,000 every 2 years on a house you buy. So I buy a house for $100,000, I sell it for $600,000 tax-free. I buy another house for $100,000, 2 years later I sell that tax-free. You know, that's the way it works nowadays. So what you'd have to do is figure out what your cost basis is in the house that you're selling, compare that to the sales price and determine, did I make a $500,000 gain or more? And if I made more, then you're going to pay capital gains tax on the excess.
Okay. So my other question is about rental properties. I have 4 rental properties.
Yep.
And I've owned them since 2008.
Okay.
My question is, after I sell my primary residence, let's say one day after I sell my primary residence, I decide to move into one of my rentals and live there for 2 years.
Okay. That gets a little complicated. Yeah, you can do that, but you don't get the 100% $500,000 capital gain exclusion on those rental properties. It depends upon the percentage of time that you rented it after 2009 compared to the percentage that you rented it. So in other words, how many years did you rent it after 2009? How many years did you live in it as your personal residence after 2009? And any year before also gets added on to your as if your personal residence. And that percentage is going to determine what portion of the gain you can exclude and you can't exclude. It gets complicated. That one's a really complicated one. It used to be pre-2010, you could do that carte blanche. You could take your rental home that you had a $350,000 gain in, live in it 2 years, sell it, and write it all off 100% with the $500,000 gain exclusion. And you can thank Charlie Rangel for that. You remember that name, Charlie Rangel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, Charlie Rangel was the one that helped pass the law that stopped you from being able to do that in 2009.
Wow.
Yep, but well, you know, there is something you can do with those rental properties. You can sell those rental properties in a 1031 exchange. Are you familiar with 1031 exchanges?
Yeah, you would have to exchange it for like a similar property, equal or...
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be similar. I could buy a lot of land. I could buy 100 acres of land and give up my rental home. I could buy a commercial building and give up my rental homes. I can buy a condo in Naples, Florida, and I could even use it 10 days of the year without, you know, affecting the 1031 exchange. And there's also a thing called a Delaware statutory trust that you can do a 1031 exchange into and not even have to manage the properties yourself. Somebody else will take care of it. We got clients that do that all the time, where they sell their rental properties, we roll it into a Delaware statutory trust, and we buy something like an Amazon distribution center was one client. Another client bought two apartment complexes in Arizona. Another client, and they just own a piece of this, of course. And, you know, so there's all kinds of really cool ways to do 1031 exchanges. So don't just look down on the concept as if, no, that's not going to work for me. There's a lot to it, my friend. All right?
Okay, yeah, I guess I'm just going to have to sit down and...
Make sure you have like good tax advice when you're ready to do something there, okay?
Okay.
All right, Don. What's that?
I said, yeah, that's where I wasn't sure. I know if you don't live in it as your primary residence, I have a friend of mine that just buys houses, fixer-uppers. He never rents it, but he fixes it up, lives in it for 2 years, and then sells it, and then avoids any capital gain tax up to $500,000.
And that's perfectly legal. That's perfectly legal. All right, I got to run, Don. Good question. Good points there. I'm going to Rich. Rich, before we get rolling, I do have to say I got to stop. It's 6:29, so ask your question, and then we'll go from there, okay?
All right, sounds good. We own two houses, one in Pasadena worth about $450,000, and that's paid outright, and our retirement house is in Millsboro, Delaware. It's set at about $600,000. We still owe $200,000 on it. What do you recommend to invest in that $400,000 to cover our $2,000 a month mortgage payment for the house in Delaware? What would you recommend?
That's a very difficult question, not knowing anything about you and what you're doing and what you have otherwise and so forth and so forth. I mean, there's lots of different ways to go on that. You know, but, you know, too often people want to call somebody like me and say, you know, give me an investment idea. And that's the wrong approach to investments. Investments require to understand who you are, what you're all about, what your real goals and objectives are, and make sure that whatever decision you make fits into your overall, you know, allocation, your overall risk tolerance, your overall goals and objectives, and so forth. So, you know, I'm sorry if I'm disappointing you, not giving you a specific idea, but that's the best I can say.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I thought maybe just might have something simple that, you know, we just want to cover the $2,000 a month out of the 400K, you know?
You want the 400K to make $24,000 a year of income is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, that's all we need, yep.
So that would require 6% rate of return. And you know as well as I do, my friend, that anybody's offering you 6% in today's world is bringing you a lot of risk, because the guaranteed interest rate on money right now is only 2.5%.
Okay.
And so if anybody offers you more than 2.5%, it's coming with certain degrees of risk. So be careful about that, my friend, okay?
Gotcha.
All right. I got to run.
Right.
Good question.
Very good.
Yep. We're on an open show tonight. Last night in Maryland, I'd like to hear from you. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680.
To more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
And we're back with that. I think it was the number one hit for at least 3 years, 62, 63, and 64. Tore the Beatles apart. The Circle. There you go. I didn't think I know this stuff. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. We've got callers online. We're going to Bob in a second, 410-922-6680. I'm here with Maddie Bennett, and I am on my last live show in Maryland. And if you want to call in and be a part of that, love to have you, 410-922-6680. Bob in Delaware. Bob, how can we help you?
Good evening. Quick question for you. I contribute to a 403B, and the tax-deferred amount, you don't pay state or federal taxes on that.
Okay.
But you do pay Medicare taxes.
Yes, you do pay Social Security and Medicare.
So I just converted some money from my traditional IRAs, which were... And what it did is it kicked me into a higher Medicare bracket, because they consider that money, even though I've already paid.
Right. If your total earnings with Medicare, you and your spouse, are you married?
No, I'm single.
Single. So if your total earnings are greater than $200,000, and that's not your taxable wages on box one of your W-2, that's box three, the Medicare wages, which,
right,
if you're putting money in a 403B, could be as much as $26,000 less than the wages number in box one.
Right.
Yeah. So they hit you with an extra 0.9% when you go over $200,000 of earnings.
Now, am I smarter to keep contributing to my 403B or set up a regular account and pay capital gains over the years?
Doesn't your organization offer a Roth 403B?
No, and they won't change over. We have the regular one right now. And
why won't they change over? Did you ask them if they were a bunch of Neanderthals or a bunch of Luddites that they wouldn't change over? Because it's as simple as pie. You just say to the 403B provider, provide a Roth option, and that's it. I mean, there's nothing to it. There's no risk to it.
I work for a small town. They said they wouldn't do it.
But all they have to do is say to the 403B provider, provide a Roth option. Who's doing your 403B?
I have it through Edelman, and they do it through the town. But can I do it individually?
Well, you can put $7,000 a year. Well, no, because your income's way too high. He's at $200,000 mm-hmm. at least.
Right.
So, you know, you can't do it. You gotta tell the organization that there's no risk to you. There's no problem. It's no big deal. Just offer a Roth. Don't take no for an answer.
Well, if they've already told me no.
Well, don't take no for an answer. Get ask them to give you the name of the 403B provider and then talk to the 403B provider to talk to them and explain how simple it's going to be. It's not going to cost them any money. And even sometimes some providers say, we're going to charge an extra $300 a year if we're going to offer a Roth. And just say, I'll pay the $300 a year.
Well, that's what I told them.
It'll be worth it.
$600, and I told them I would pay it.
Well, it sounds like you're a pretty influential person in this organization. They ought to listen to you, and there's really no risk to them, and there's no problem. It's not that big a deal. Every time I've talked to them, it's normally just a simple, okay, we'll add the account. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
And why are they doing it through Edelman? They should be doing it through Vanguard.
Edelman's kind of the representative. And then I guess through Vanguard or TD Ameritrade.
Well, TD is becoming Schwab now, but yeah, they should be moving that whole thing to Vanguard. That's the place to be for a 403B. They take care of that. But anyway, they can use who they want, but that's who I would use if I were them. All right.
But could I ask one more question?
Go ahead, quick.
Do you have to pay Medicare? Okay, I converted $65,000 of my traditional IRAs, which counts as income, so I'm actually paying Medicaid on income that I've already paid Medicaid on to put into there.
Say that again. You're putting $3,000 in your IRA. Is that what you said?
Okay. Say if I put $7,000 in a deductible IRA. Now I convert that $7,000 to a Roth.
Right.
Now I have to pay Medicaid.
No. No, you're not paying Medicare tax when you convert. You're only paying state and local taxes, state and federal taxes.
But see what it did? It kicked me up in the next higher bracket.
Well, it kicked you up into the 0.9% that you had to pay on earnings, capital gains, and, it's actually 3.8% is what you're referring to of interest, dividends, and capital gains, right?
Right.
Right.
So you're paying twice for the Medicare. Oh, no.
Well, but it's, you know, I hear what you're saying. You know, so you got a good point. You can thank President Obama for that one.
Okay.
All right.
So that's why I was saying, should I not contribute 403, but just set up another capital gains type account so I don't.
Well, but it, you know, I hear what you're saying, but that's why you want Roth. You want Roth
right,
because that's going to help you do these kind of things, you know? Anyway, I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with your saying. And that's why you have to be very careful when you convert to know what the consequences are going to be. All right, I got to run. Good question.
All right, thanks, man. Take care.
Okay. I understand exactly where he's mm-hmm. coming from. Joe in Westminster, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all the shows you've given us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I have a question that I'd like to make a preface on, and the preface explains the question. But I'm going to go right to the question because I don't want to defer it too long. My question is this. How do you go about having your amount of Social Security you're receiving verified as being correct? And the reason I'm asking, when I applied for my Social Security and went to the office, here I'm thinking it's going to be a real positive experience for me and everything. They turned it into one of the most horrible days that I've had for decades.
Really? Why? What happened?
Well, the rep, the woman that was taking me, she was asking me these questions I was totally unprepared for to answer. She would say, I took my driver's license with me, feeling that was sufficient, and she would say, well, where's your birth certificate? I said, well, I didn't bring that with me. Where is your marriage license? I didn't bring that with me. Where is your divorce decree? I didn't bring that with me. Okay, well, where are all the places you worked? Did they take out FDIC and how much? I said, ma'am, I've worked, I was 67. I said, I've worked at about 8 places. I have no idea. I thought you'd have all that on your computer systems.
Right.
She said, no. She said, you've got to go and find that.
No, you know, I mean, you know, she was not very nice to you. I mean, we sign a lot of our clients up for Social Security online because there's an online retirement application you can do for Social Security. And yes, Social Security has the right to, after we do the online application, ask for those kind of things like your marriage certificate or your birth certificate and things. But I've never had them actually ask for it. So and the answer to the question of did you ever have Social Security not taken out of one of your employers? It's usually pretty easy to answer. All you got to do is know what kind of employers have you had in the past. And the answer is usually no, all of them took Social Security out of my paycheck. And if you ever worked overseas, you probably knew the answer to that one, right?
Well, I was in the military and mostly other civilian jobs.
Well, but the military, even though you might have been overseas, you're still considered on American soil if you're in the military.
Okay. Well, she asked me about that. I had no idea if the military.
Right, right. Most of the answers to the questions could have been a lot easier, and she could have coached you through them. Most Social Security people do coach their people through the answers to those questions. Now, I don't know what her problem was.
She was super nasty. And,
you know, that's not normal for them. They're actually very good at handling their clients, as they like to call them.
That's what I kind of expected, but no, not to be.
Well, I'm sorry. I wished I could have done your application for you. We would have had it done and had all your money in. You'd had a great experience.
Right.
We would have drank a glass of wine at the end of it, too.
So how can I verify the correct amount that I'm getting?
You're best to go online and set up your own My Social Security account and look at all of your earnings. That's the key thing, is looking at your earnings that were reported over the years and verifying that the earnings that they have are your correct earnings. That's the key. Okay?
That's pretty darn hard because, like I said.
Well, but you can easily tell, Joe, by just looking at them and saying, yeah, that's logical. I was, you know, yeah, look at the progression of that salary. Yeah, that's logical. That's where I was basically doing this or that. Yeah, you know, and so forth.
What would I answer to get that kind of result? I mean, like, you know, if I had a job when I was 18 and here I'm 67, how would I inquire in the computer to retrieve that information, though?
It is. It should be there on your earnings report with Social Security.
Okay.
But I will say, though, that they just started something new in the last, like, 6 months or so where they do, instead of doing your earnings year by year, they're doing them in 10-year brackets.
Uh-huh.
And now that makes it a little more difficult. You got to go back and find one of your earlier Social Security reports would have given you all your years year by year. If you want to hold on, I can talk to you more, but I do have to pause and take a break.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
All right. Take care. All right. We're on open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in the last part of the show, Drew here live in Maryland. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410 833-723-7283 or online, financialconsulate.com.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yep. There's number one from 65 to 70. 5 years in a row. Sergeant Barry Sadler on top of the... Yeah, and still today, still number one. Anyway, we're here on an open show, and I'm going back to Joe real quick. Joe, anything else I can answer for you on that?
Yes. Do you think that Social Security's office would do the earnings report information for me? Because I don't have my own personal computer.
Did you have a child or a friend that does computers a lot?
Well, I'm all used up, if you know what I mean. And
yeah, I think they would. I think they, you know, they're supposed to show you your earnings. I know that if I did an application for somebody, part of the question is, do you want to look at your earnings record to see if you agree with it before you agree to take your Social Security? So they're supposed to do that when you, you know, when you do. Okay.
Okay, and I might ask you this: say they would check that, look at the earnings report, and say, well, you know, you're getting $100 more than what we're calculating. Would that take that from what I'm getting?
No. You got to keep in mind, rarely their system is wrong. If your earnings is wrong, then it's wrong. And that would only increase your benefits, not decrease them. I've never seen them decrease for anyone. I've only seen them increased.
Okay.
All right?
One last comment.
Yeah. Go ahead, real quick.
Okay. I had to do the footwork. I went into one of my former employers and walked in there and said, I need to know if I had FDIC and how much. They laughed at me so hard. They said, sir, we weren't even born when you worked here.
And you didn't. You don't mean FDIC. You mean FICA, FICA.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I understand that. But you did. You don't have to worry about that. You always had it. If they ask you that question again, you say, yes, every employer I've ever worked at had FICA taken out.
I see.
All
Thank
right.
Thank you very much for all your help.
All right, Joe. Take care. Bill in Arbutus.
Yes, sir.
How can we help you?
Quick question. If I've been collecting Social Security since I was able to, which is at 65.
Well, you were able to at 62, but you just say you started at 65 when you stopped working or something?
Yeah, actually, I'm still working, but at the time I needed the money, so I went ahead and filed.
Okay, what year were you born?
53.
53. Okay. So you're 68. You're going to be 69 right. this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to be 69 this year, right?
69 in November.
In November. You have the ability to go back into Social Security now and say, stop my Social Security until I turn 70. So for a year and a half, they'll increase your Social Security benefit by about 12% between now and when you November of 2023, when you turn 70.
Okay. Yeah, that was my question, I guess, is, you know, whether or not it would be worth it.
You'll get a 12% increase. So if you're getting $2,000 a month right now, you're going to get $2,250, let's call it.
Every dollar helps, right?
Yeah, it definitely can. And remember that the increased amount will now be cost of living increased for the rest of your life. So, you know, you just have to weigh how much money you're going to give up for a year and a half to get that extra $250 a month. But here's the cool thing about it, too. If you defer for a year and a half, I believe at the end of the year and a half, when you turn 70, you can also say to them, yeah, you know, I was just kidding. Give me the last 6 months in a lump sum and bring my benefit back to 6 months ago and give me a lump sum and I'll live with a little bit smaller check.
Okay.
All right. So there's a couple things you can do, my friend. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
Take care. Lots of good questions tonight, Maddie. So you're a trained, certified financial therapist, right?
Yes, technically. Well, I'm not technically allowed to practice. I'm just have the base knowledge of it. So the, I got that back in November.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And tell people what that really does and why it's important.
Yeah. So it just gives us as advisors better understanding of why people make decisions around money, how they deal with money, and how a lot of how they view money now is based upon how they grew up and their parents' influence on them and experiences that they went through. And that just kind of helps us help our clients overcome certain problems, whether they don't want to take our recommendation, and we can help them dive deeper into overcoming that.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how many actual more decisions are made for psychological reasons than mm-hmm. economic reasons.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I was shocked by that when I learned that by mistake, kind of, back in about 1996. And I realized that my clients were making decisions not based on necessarily the logic I was explaining to them, but on experiences they had or psychological things they had.
Right.
And that's when I came up with the concept that the foundation of all financial planning is what you think about money is going to determine everything you're going to do with and for money.
Right, exactly.
And so
it's a huge part of it. Yeah.
It is a huge part of it. And most people don't want to get into that, you know, or talk about that.
Right.
Because they think like you're treating them like they're crazy or something.
Right, exactly. Or bringing up old emotions that they don't want to talk about anymore. Yeah.
I had read an article just recently about a person who was supposed to sign an insurance application and they kept putting it off and putting it off. And it turned out the reason they figured out finally was that, you know, back when they were about 15, they had an uncle who signed up for an insurance policy and a month later he got killed. And the person at that young age heard about all this and subconsciously correlated the concept that signing up for life insurance could bring about a bad result in your life, like her uncle, and just didn't want to address it, just didn't want to deal with it. And
that's a perfect example.
And, you know, and being able to try to overcome that was very important. So, I mean, we could tell stories like that forever.
Yep.
So, anyway, Maddie, it's always a pleasure being with you. And I'm going back to Florida.
I know.
Because that's where my wife loves to be. She loves to be down there. So I'm going to take her back down there. And we're going to enjoy it. And I'll be back many weeks every year, but nothing more than that.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. It's been a wonderful show, and I'm glad I got to catch you one last time up here.
Yep. Anyway, Chris, always great to be with you in person, but we'll do a great show in Florida together. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. What I'd like to do to you, shower the people you love with love. Show them. Gonna be much better.